Okay. It's not their best song.
It's not, because you have noticed Animal Song that's the best song.
Well, no.
I want to live like animals.
Careless and free. Hello and welcome to Reunited, the classic movie and entertainment podcast. If you enjoy classic movies from years gone by, this is definitely the podcast you've been looking for. Each episode, we will be reunited with a classic movie and give it a modern review while taking in some of the other entertainment from the time. I'm your co-host, Neil Thorpe, and I'm joined as always by my fellow co-host, Ian McGarry.
I want to fuck! It's my big dick! So everybody get ready fucking now!
What the hell? And for this episode, we're going to be looking at the classic movie, Boogie Nights.
Everyone's given one special thing, right? Everyone's blessed with one special thing. I want you to know I plan on being a star. A big, bright, shining star.
Eddie Adams from Torrance.
Yep.
Jack Horner, filmmaker. I make exotic pictures.
In 1977... a kid from nowhere.
Maybe think about your name.
My name, yeah.
Something a little pizzazz.
Dirk Diggler.
Good name.
I like your name a lot.
Had a dream of getting somewhere.
Jack Horner has found something special in newcomer Dirk Diggler.
So let me just pop in this 8-track, and you just give a listen, tell me what you think, okay?
It was a time when disco was king.
These are the ones. These are great.
Yeah, those are really cool. Are they lizard?
No, they're Italian.
So you like my shoes?
They're pretty cool.
Sex was safe. Woo-hoo! Pleasure was a business.
Cut. Terrific. Nice work.
And business was booming.
And the award for best newcomer goes to Mr. Dirk Diggler.
Wow.
Goodbye, 1979. Hello, 1980.
Are you ready?
But in 1980...
Come on, you puppies!
The party was over.
You are fired!
What?
You're fired! You're fired!
It's jealousy, it's deceitfulness, it's vindictiveness, but, I mean, God, what can you expect when you're on top?
Oh, wait. Love this part. Mama told me not
to come. New Line Cinema presents A Portrait of Two Decades in the Life of a Business, The Days of a Dreamer, and The Nights in Between. Boogie Nights.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good. So, this is going to be a bit of a behemoth.
Yes.
Quite apt when we're talking about Dirk Diggler. It's going to be a long one.
Yes. So, the girth of this episode will be vast.
Karate Kid.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think?
Excellent. Karate Kid good, yeah?
Karate Kid good.
Karate Kid good.
Beginning's bad.
No comment.
Maybe.
No comment.
Well, we'll see. That's why
taking the fifth.
Fifth of Dirk.
That's all I could take.
Oh dear. We've had some great feedback. We've had loads of new people as well jumping on board.
Yep.
So we'd like to say...
Rightly so.
Welcome. Welcome in.
I knew that was coming. Hello, Germany.
Please, Germany, get in touch. Please, join us on our socials for the new listeners. Like us, rate us, share us.
Yeah, share us. Spread the love.
Yeah. We're on X, Facebook, Instagram. So let's just get into this, shall we?
Yeah. Let's whip it out. And boogie.
16th of January, 1998. So, Neil, 1998.
Yeah.
It was actually released in the USA on October 31st, 1997.
Yeah. Yeah, it's down as 97 as...
As the general consensus, obviously.
When it was made.
Yeah, we get it a wee bit later. I think a couple of weeks it was in like some festivals and stuff, but it got its nationwide release on Halloween, the day before my 18th birthday.
Okay. The final scene did scare me. For Halloween.
That was my birthday present.
Yeah.
So what happened on the 16th of January 1988?
Boogie Nights came out.
Yep. But as always, we'll start with the television. BBC One. Not sure if we talked about this one or not. I just went straight for it. I'm just ignoring the usual.
The trifecta.
Theater, trifecta. 7 p.m. Big Break.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Big Break. Used to enjoy that, for sure.
Yeah,
like Jim that. Davison.
I'm going to be snookering you tonight.
Yep.
With racist, outdated jokes.
Put as many balls as you can.
That's Boogie Nights, no?
No.
8 p.m. Only Fools and Horses.
Yep.
Touched on it before, talked yep. about Rodney and all that stuff.
Of course.
That's a classic.
Yes.
Were you like a grandpa guy or the Uncle Albert guy?
Hey, Uncle Albert.
Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Buster Merrifield.
Because like, it's pretty early 80s, I think, when the grandpa was in it. It's probably a bit too early for us.
Buster Merrifield also yeah. seems like somebody that should be cast in Boogie Nights.
Buster Nut.
Talking about that, 11:45 p.m. film, Body of Evidence.
Oh, yeah. So that's Madonna, isn't it?
It's the original Dirk Diggler starring Willem Dafoe.
Dafoe, Candlewax. Yeah.
Yeah, if Dafoe was in Boogie Nights, he would not need the prosthetic willy, that's for sure. Did you ever see Body of Evidence all the way through?
What are you implying with that?
Oh, sorry, I knew so.
Just the same 30 seconds, I kept... No, I probably did, to be honest, yeah. but I can't remember it.
Julianne Moore was actually in that.
All right, okay.
That's a wee link.
Yeah, a link.
BBC Two, 9 p.m. Blackadder.
Oh yeah, Blackadder, great.
It didn't specify what series it was. So obviously, Blackadder Goes Forth would have been on a few years back.
Yeah. I think Blackadder Goes Forth is probably my favourite.
I think so too.
Of them all, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely the final scene always.
Oh, yeah. Me. Yeah.
And it's always like on, you see it in Social Network, usually around Remembrance Day as well.
Yeah.
And you watch it again, it's like, oh.
Just mentally, just, it really yeah.
gets you. You've been on this journey with this group of people that you've yeah. laughed with, joked with, and he was always like a smarmy so-and-so, and you always thought he was going to get out of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. And he was very serious right at the end.
Yeah.
You know? And he just kind of accepted his fate, and it was just like, oh.
Out of the blue, yeah, just, yeah.
Fix bayonets!
Don't forget your stick lifting.
Right there, sir. Wouldn't want to face a machine gun without this.
Listen, our guns have stopped.
You don't think...
Maybe the war's over. Maybe it's peace.
Well, hurrah! The big knobs have got round the table and yanked the iron out of the fire.
Thank God. We lived through it. The Great War, 1914 to 1917.
Hip, hip! Hooray!
I'm afraid not. The guns have stopped because we're about to attack. Not even our generals are mad enough to shell their own men. They think it's far more sporting to let the Germans do it.
So we are, in fact, going over. This is, as they say, it.
I'm afraid so, unless I can think of something very quickly.
Company, one, pace forward.
Oh, there's a nasty splinter on that ladder, sir. A bloke could hurt himself on that.
Stand ready.
I have a plan, sir.
Really, Bulrick? A cunning and subtle one?
Yes, sir.
As cunning as a fox who's just been appointed Professor of Cunning at Oxford University?
Yes, sir.
On the signal. Company will advance!
Well, I'm afraid it'll have to wait. Whatever it was, I'm sure it was better than my plan to get out of this by pretending to be mad. I mean, who would have noticed another madman around here? Good luck, everyone.
Yeah!
10:05. Game on.
The sitcom.
Yes.
Oh, we mentioned this before as well. I said it was your favourite TV show on one of yeah. the episodes. Oh, yeah, but it was the song from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, that's right.
Where I Find My Heaven, great song.
Yeah, and that's probably the best bit about it, to be fair.
I can't remember it really watching it.
Did they not switch the main guys?
Yeah, they did, because the guy went off to do movies and stuff, and then they got a different guy.
Was he a ginge?
No, he was the loser. There was three.
Oh, the ginge was the mainstay, wasn't
he? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He stayed, yeah. And the blonde girl stayed.
So Samantha Janis, who changed the name to Samantha Womack.
And Womack.
You piece of shit.
Why am I not surprised she changed her name?
Well, STV, 3:30 p.m. Rosie and Jim.
Oh, yeah. There's something a wee bit creepy about Rosie and Jim. But
well, they're chugging along in the old rag doll.
Yeah, creepy motherfuckers.
7:30 p.m. Never watched it, and I don't think you did either. Coronation Street.
Nah. Nah. That was on in my grand's house type one. I always remember the cat and the credits on the roof. That's the only thing I remember about Coronation Street. You just... Yeah.
It was a delight.
Yeah, it was certainly something, aye.
Now, I'm just putting that down here because that's actually the start of the Deirdre prison story.
No, right, okay.
Free the Weatherfield one. Remember that?
No.
Oh, well. Somebody out there is going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. No, I don't.
Channel 4. It's the trifecta that I've talked about, but it's an awesome trifecta. Big Breakfast, TFI Friday, and your favourite, Eurotrash.
What about Pipi and Popo? They are the mascot of Eurotrash, and we love them.
I piss on Pipi and Popo. Everybody's sick of them. They're worse than Mr. Blobby.
Channel 5!
Yes.
I don't know why I shouted that.
But you did.
4:40 a.m.
That's... What the fuck? Okay, what's...
4:40 a.m.
Yeah.
Prisoner cell cage.
Oh. Vinegar tits.
It's moved.
Yeah, switch channel.
It's moved. It's downgraded from STV. Still in a crappy bloody...
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah. Time. But yeah. Vinegar tits.
Vinegar tits. Hey, how about that, eh? Vinegar tits.
You really are the most uncouth slut, Doyle.
Sky Screen 1.
Okay.
Which is Sky Movies.
Yeah, we know that.
7 p.m. I had to put it down. I don't think we'll ever cover it, but it has to be mentioned because it is great. Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah, funny. Ridiculous.
Rick Moranis.
Yes.
In an oversized helmet. Talking about Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
He was the Duck Diggler before Duck Diggler.
I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
What's that make us?
Absolutely nothing.
Keep getting tempted to do the next bit of the song when you do that, but I'm not going to do it.
Go on then.
No. Yeah, okay.
Number 5. Together Again, Janet Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the song, yep. Yes. Yes.
Number 4. Perfect Day. Various artists.
Oh, yes. Tom Jones and shit.
The BBC advert.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Legit. Perfect.
It is. Almost perfect day. Yeah. Everybody used to sing it in school.
Yeah.
Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on.
Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on.
You just keep me hanging on.
Can you name all the people, try and name 5 people that was in that video.
The dude out the Lemonheads.
Fucking wow. Evan Dando.
Evan Dando, yep. Wow. Tom Jones.
Yep.
Bono.
You got a dream, you start to show. That's Tom
Jones. Glad you cleared that up.
Thank you.
Elton John.
Yes, yes.
There was Country and Western.
Tammy Wynette.
Is it Tammy Wynette?
Yeah, she sings the keep me hanging on bit as well.
Okay. Oh, I can't think.
Fun Living Criminal Guy.
Oh, yeah, Huey. Yep.
Something good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may cut the boys on.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Oh, that was a really, really good advert, though.
Yeah.
Whoever thought
of it. Oh, they'll have M People Women in it as well.
Heather Small.
Heather Small, yeah.
But her hair is not small.
No.
It's huge.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there are loads.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yes.
And then it had Reed at the end.
Yeah.
Going, shh.
Yeah. Saying, royalties.
Show me the money. Number three, Renegade Master 98, Wild Child.
Back once again.
The Renegade Master.
Number three. People. Yeah.
This is apt for number two. It's Bamboogie by Bamboo.
I can't remember that.
It's a
doesn't
disco.
Sound bam good though.
No, it's not I Can Boogie. It's do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight. Bam bam.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. Yeah, just a dance remix of that. And number one, Never Ever, All Saints.
All right, okay. Oh, that was the first one. That was the first song.
Yeah. In the US, number one, Truly, Madly, Deeply, Savage Gardens.
Okay. It's not their best song.
It's not, because you will know it's Animal Song that's the best song.
Well, no.
I want to live like animals.
Careless and free.
Like animals. I want to live like animals, careless and free. Like animals. I want to live, I want to run through the jungle, wind in my hair and the sand at my feet. Anyway.
Yeah.
UK top five albums.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you owned this one at number five. Had a good few songs on it. White on Blonde, Texas.
No, I didn't own it.
No. It was good songs though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I liked Halo, that was good.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Mm. And Splatteri, she's still going.
Yep. Yeah, they're still going.
Yeah, fair play. Number four, Spice World. Talked to them about before.
Yeah, Face Off episode, because it's same sort of era.
Spice up your life. Number three, I never took to this guy. Life Through a Lens, Robbie Williams.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think his first two albums when he left Take That are pretty decent, to be fair. After that, he did some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Rude Box,
yeah. But I know when he split up with like song.
Yeah, yeah, he ditched the dude that was, they were producing the gold and then he got rid of the guy and then there was some shit getting produced.
Yeah, he thought he could do it by himself.
Yeah, basically.
And then he done Rude Box.
Yeah.
Very good, Robbie.
Yep.
Number two, All Saints. All Saints.
Yeah.
So good I had to say it twice.
All Saints have got a couple of alright songs as well.
Yeah, this doesn't need to put my number down.
The Unforgivable Under the Bridge, though.
Oh, that's pretty bad. Like,
yeah.
It has to be said.
Mm-hmm. Because when it first starts, you think it's actually going to be the proper one, and then it's not.
The Wild Morbid one's probably my favourite one. The Beach.
Pure Shores.
Yeah, Pure Shores.
Yeah.
Aye. Number one, Urban Hymns.
Yes.
By The Verve.
Yep.
Said that before. I think maybe that was number one when we done Face Off.
Yeah, it was definitely mentioned.
All right, moving swiftly on to the UK movie box office. Number five, Hard Rain.
Hard Rain. Is that Keanu?
No.
Christian Slater.
Slater and Freeman.
Yeah, Slater and Freeman, yep.
Together at last.
Yep.
Unlike Bowfinger when it's Chubby Rain.
Yeah. Chain Reaction, that's what I was thinking of for some reason there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was around his Johnny Mnemonic phase.
Yep.
Mm. There was better things to come for Keanu.
Oh, yeah.
Number four. As Good As It Gets, Nicholson.
Yeah, decent, funny.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. Aye, I liked it.
Yep.
You're really going to like the next one, and it's kind of a hidden gem. If anybody's not seen this or heard about this before, I definitely recommend you go and watch this if you've got time. Fallen.
Oh, yeah, Denzel. Yes. Yeah, yep. Goodman.
He's on my side. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. That is a decent film. Yes.
Great film.
That's so. I think that's on Prime.
Well, there's no excuses at the minute, if you've got Amazon.
If you got Prime, get that shit watched.
Yeah, very underrated Denzel film.
So I'm curious, where'd you go?
Why are you asking?
Come here. Come here. Come on, come here. Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Blue.
Number two, Good Will Hunting.
Not a bad film.
That's all right. It was okay. It was all right for a watch.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say it changed my life?
Or... Yeah. Yeah, a lot was made of it at the time. Like, yeah. It's, yeah.
And I think Robin Williams has done better dramatic stuff as well, but it still was good.
1 hour photo.
Oh, God. Yeah. Wow. Number one. Same as America. Same number one. Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Said all this need to be said for
it's,
that.
It's not gone down yet.
Talking about that, let's get back to Boogie Nights then.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you in action. Jack says you got a great big cock.
Well, I guess so.
May I see it?
Okay, Neil, as always, do a wee bit of background first before we go into the rewatch. So, Boogie Nights, as we discussed, released here in 98, but it's actually a 1997 American period comedy drama film. Written, directed, and co-produced by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yep.
Probably henceforth known as PTA.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. The film is an expansion of Anderson's mockumentary short film, The Dirk Diggler Story, from 1988. It stars Mark Wahlberg, Julianne Moore, Burt Reynolds, Don Cheadle,
I would say.
John C. Reilly, William H. Macy, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Heather Graham. It was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, including Best Original Screenplay for Anderson, Best Supporting Actress for Moore, and Best Supporting Actor for Reynolds. The film's soundtrack, which I'm sure we'll talk about, has also received acclaim. It has since been considered one of Anderson's best works and one of the best films of all time. It was actually made on quite a low budget for 97, it was around roughly 15 million. But the box office returns wasn't great. It was one. It's a film that you kind of found later, and it grossed 43.1 million. So again, we like to talk about who might have got what parts.
Yeah.
Here, so Anderson originally wanted the role of Eddie to be played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
After seeing him in The Basketball Diaries.
Yep.
DiCaprio enjoyed the screenplay, he said, but had to turn it down because he'd signed on to star in James Cameron's Titanic.
Yeah.
But he recommended his Basketball Diaries co-star Mark Wahlberg for the role.
Okay.
DiCaprio would later say that he wished he'd done both. Jaquan Phoenix was also offered the role of Eddie, but later turned it down due to concerns about playing a porn star.
Yeah. Concerned.
Which is actually something that Mark Wahlberg's kind of backtracked on now. He doesn't really talk about beginnings because he hates it, because he's very religious. And he doesn't like some of the early stuff, in particular Boogie Nights, which is madness. Anyway, Bill Murray, Harvey Keitel, Warren Beatty, Albert Brooks, and Sidney Pollack declined or were passed up for the role of Jack Horner, which eventually went to Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson also declined the role of Buck Swope, which went to Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Anderson initially did not consider Heather Graham for Roller Girl because he'd never seen her do nudity in a film. Sounds quite pervy.
Yeah.
However, Graham's agent called and basically just asked if she could read for the part, which she eventually won. Other people were up for that were Gwyneth Paltrow, friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
She brought in too many candles that day.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
And Tatum O'Neill. Obviously, the wee spat between PTA and Burt Reynolds. You know this, I think it's a general consensus that Burt Reynolds allegedly, when he saw the rough cut of the film, fired his agent.
Yeah, he wasn't happy. Yeah.
He hated it.
And then he got the Oscar nod. So.
No, and he backtracked. I don't think he really recovered after that.
Yeah.
They never worked together again.
Yeah.
Because Paul Thomas Anderson is quite loyal to like a small group of actors, and yeah, he never went in this, but. He did win the Golden Globe and he was nominated for Academy Award, like you said.
Yeah.
Later, Reynolds said he denied in rumours that he disliked the film, calling it extraordinary and saying that his opinion of it has nothing to do with his relationship with Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Backtrack City.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff also being said about that, and obviously being on the top list of films of all time, and let's just get into it, see for ourselves.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Delve deep.
This boogie.
Tonight.
The acclaim is building. Newsweek hails Boogie Nights as the most invigorating, deeply entertaining American movie this year so far.
That shirt's pretty sexy.
Yeah, well, this is like imported Italian nylon.
Rolling Stone says it's a chunk of movie dynamite. Roger Ebert declares it a sprawling masterpiece of a movie.
Let's keep rocking and rolling, man.
Boogie Nights, rated R.
It's time to begin Boogie Nights. So the film opens to a somber sort of sound to begin with.
It does, yeah.
And then the disco kicks in.
Yeah.
Best of My Love.
A great song.
Yeah.
By The Emotions. And I was thinking, maybe is this like a metaphor for how the movie's going to be? Because it is, as we'll discuss going throughout it, it's a severe juxtaposition between the drama and like the comedy, the cheesiness of the 70s. So that obviously represented through like the disco music, and is this the serious music at the start to say, well, you know, this is going to be a bit of a bumpy ride here.
Yeah. And I also forgot to mention the South American title of the film is Juegos de Placer, which translates to Games of Pleasure.
Some shit is the name of your sex tape.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we go into the like amazing Goodfellas-esque shot.
Yeah.
Going around everyone, which is awesome.
Come on then, tell us who you see first.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
The Reynolds Meister. Then we see Julianne Moore. And then your hero, Mr. Guzman.
Louis Guzman. It's Maurice. Maurice.
Jackie!
Put me in the movie.
Jackie, Jack, how you doing?
We're talking box office, baby.
Yeah, and then he sees Julianne Moore and goes, you're the sexiest bitch in the damn county.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, honey, but you are the sexiest bitch in the damn county. I love you.
Such a charmer.
Then we see Don Cheadle, John C. Reilly.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
Buck, Reed, Becky, Roller Girl. Mm-hmm. Wahlberg's cleaning up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously you see Burt Reynolds properly, and then who's he look like? Obviously, this was meant.
Looks like Burt Reynolds.
No, he's all done up. He looks like George Lucas.
All right, okay.
He is the spit of George Lucas, you know, like the wee
gray. Yeah, yeah, I suppose his hair is. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Well, funny you say that. Mm-hmm. Actually, my next bit, when Jack sees Wahlberg, I've got his very Lando when he sees Leia. Well, what have we here? That's what I've got for
this. There's a cacophony of Star Wars references in this. A cacophony.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Apt. Talking about that, I've got next note is Wahlberg. Jacked off twice at work already.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I've got Bill comes in.
Oh.
William H. Macy.
I came too quick.
Yep. Jack follows Eddie to the kitchen.
Yes.
This is Wahlberg. And this is the bit that you're talking about, the $5 to look at his cock.
Five or ten. Five to show you, ten to jack off.
And this at this point is Burt Reynolds introduces himself as a porn filmmaker.
Yes, exotic pictures.
And I've got the quote from him, now you know I'm not full of doggy doo-doo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but then I've written down, like, Wahlberg jerked off twice at work already.
Yeah.
Impressive. Most impressive.
And then Burt Reynolds is like, I've got a feeling that beneath those jeans is something wonderful waiting to get out. That's a wee bit creepy, like.
Again, it's Star Wars reference to C-3PO.
Okay, it's George Lucas, man.
Wonderful!
I never doubted you for a second. Wonderful!
What the fuck? Then we go back to Amber and Jack, back at their house.
Mm.
This is Julianne Moore and Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And this is the infamous good night, honey tits, stay beautiful. And then we get a sort of insight into Amber here. She's a total cokehead, trying to talk to her son on the phone. Bill gets home to find that his wife's getting fucked.
Yeah.
And she gives him shit.
10 minutes, yeah.
He walks in and they're getting fucked. And she gives him shit.
Little Bill goes in and goes, "What the fuck do you think you're doing?" And go on, you've done the impression many times. Nina Hartley, who is a porn star in real life, yeah, turns around and says to him,
"Go sleep on the couch."
He says, "What the fuck do you think I'm doing?"
"The fuck are you doing?
What the fuck does it look like I'm doing?
Can you close the door?"
"Will I close the door? Will I close the door? That's my wife, you asshole."
"I'm sorry."
"Get out. Go sleep on the couch."
"Don't stop, Big Stud."
"And then go sleep on the couch."
Yeah. Then we've got
many times.
Yes. Then we've got Wahlberg in front of the mirror in his pants, doing his kung fu kicks and shit.
Yeah, 12 minutes I've got Wahlberg and Cook doing karate and my front's in the mirror.
Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, that's right."
psyching himself out.
Yeah. And then next day his mum is giving him shit. She's one grumpy bitch. His mum, like right from the get go. And then we cut to Buck trying to sell stereos.
Yeah, this is pretty funny.
In the shop, when he's in his country and western stuff, he's in his cowboy gear. Aye, his boss isn't happy that he's playing the country music.
Again, I'll go back 14 minutes, a Star Wars reference. He talks about the TK-421.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the stormtrooper who wasn't at his post.
Yeah. And his boss says to him, "I thought you'd bring in good pussy and you did, but no more fuck-ups."
Oh,
cause,
yeah.
Because he's trying to sell the stereo to the guy, but he plays the country music and the guy's like, "Nah, fuck that, I'm out of here."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy was actually Dirk Diggler in PTA's student film that was based on this movie.
All right, okay.
So he gave him a part.
Fair enough. Then we're with Roller Girl sitting a test.
Yeah.
And this weird fucking guy, come on.
Right, so I've got Heather Graham.
He crossed the line here.
Playing a high school student at 27 years old. She was 27. And then I've got grossest non-speaking part ever by the guy when he turns round and he mimics oral sex.
Yeah.
Really gross manner.
Yeah, I've got weird BJ guy. It's the way that he's like mouthing words and stuff. It's
fucking
disturbing.
Yes. It is like he's got huge cotton mouth, like fucking Jim Carrey. He makes you frown. It's like, what the fuck are you saying? You're just a creep.
Huge cocking mouth, did you say? Anyway, she leaves because the guy's like grossed her out, and then she's basically thrown in the towel on the test. And then we're back with Eddie with his girlfriend, the when he starts bouncing on the bed.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Anyway, have you ever done that?
Of course. Yes, of course. That's what foreplay is all about, isn't it? Jumping in the bed.
No, but I thought this was after.
Oh, he can go there.
He's going again. Yeah. I'm back, baby. The next bit, we've got Jack gets Roller Girl to give Eddie a BJ. Mm-hmm. I think it's just to confirm how big his dick is, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Jack, Amber and Roller Girl give Eddie a lift. They go to a diner and they're having a conversation. And this is where Jack has his talks about his vision of filmmaking. And then when he's on about them spurting out their joy juice and having to stay in their seat. And
I've got that. Yeah, 23 minutes. Spurt out that joy juice. Because, yeah, he wants the people to not only come to see the movie, but after they've come to see the movie, they want to stay in the movie. Not like P.B. Herman and get arrested.
Yeah, he wants them just to sit in it until the film ends. We're back at Jack's house. They're there. And he basically wants Roller Girl to fuck Eddie, so...
Yes, it's like a test run.
Well, he watches. Like, he sits creepily in the seat. And she moans about she doesn't want any jizz going on her roller skates. And Jack's like, aim at her tits. Just...
Yeah. Don't you fucking come in me. That's what she said.
Yeah.
And then he says, "Do you not want to take the roller skates off?" She's like, "No, I'll never take the roller skates."
Then we're back with Eddie's mum giving him shit. Like, big time.
Yeah. She's obviously deranged. She's obviously got issues herself. And yeah, this whole...
And she does a face squish. She squishes his face. What's that all about?
Well, it's better than Face Off and do that wee prince down his face. Yeah.
I've got She's Coconuts and then he leaves.
Stop. What?
She's Coconuts. She's Coconuts. She's mental.
She's crazy.
She's bananas.
Yeah. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. She said that ain't the way to have fun. Son, that ain't the way to have fun. No. And then we're back at Jack's. This is where Eddie meets Buck, Becky and Reed, which is great.
29 minutes we've got here. Dirk Diggler meets Reed Rothschild.
Yes.
A.K.A. Han Solo.
Yeah, people tell me I look like Han Solo. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And then another of your heroes, the Colonel, arrives at this point.
Obviously, yeah.
He's like a producer. Buck and Becky are kind of like a couple, but they're arguing about his look.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure that they're a couple per se.
All right, okay. Yeah,
they're in the group.
Yeah.
And I think they're just obviously like connecting there. And is this the infamous line where she says...
Yes. Say it.
What's your look? And she's like, chocolate love, 100%.
Yeah.
I still see that.
Yeah.
What?
You have to get a new look.
Why don't you get a new look?
I have a look, okay? The look I have is just fine.
What's your look?
Chocolate love. All right? 100%.
That's been quoted for many decades now.
I'll go for an interview. How would you describe yourself? Chocolate love. 100%.
And then my next note, I've just got Guzman's belly.
Fuck! 32 minutes, Louis Goodman. Shut open, motherfucker.
Yeah, belly hanging out. It's distracted as fuck.
Like, never mind the roller girl sex scene. I'm all about Louis Guzman in an open shirt.
Yeah. I'm not. Then we've got the underwater shot.
Same size tits. I'm sure that's going to make it in
there. Has to. Then we've got the underwater shot. And then Reed tries to do his flip off the diving board. Does a big like reverse belly flop on his back.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So Reed, we're talking about John C. Reilly.
Yes, brilliant in this.
And John C. Reilly, basically, he is just an absolute standout in this.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute standout.
Everything. Every comment, every look is just great. And then we sort of see Amber creepily staring at Eddie a wee bit. Meanwhile, there's a group gathering around Little Bill's wife. She's getting fucked again.
37 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got his wife's getting pumped.
Little Bill, wife fucked on the asphalt.
And then I've got one of the dudes looks like Slash. It's looking got a Slash motherfucker lookalike.
And then he walks away in disgust. And then like the DP.
Yeah, I've got that. This bit's cool because it's like...
It's great.
Kurt's discussing the photography with Bill while his wife's in the background getting fucked.
Yeah.
It's a great scene. And then did you notice this bit? He says it wrong.
Yes.
My wife has an ass in her cock.
Yes, it was a flub that stayed in because PTA liked it so much. And he said he'd be flustered.
Yeah.
It's literally the guy who's trying to talk to him about something about the film. He's been a bit of a dick about that.
Yeah,
well, his wife is getting fucked out of focus in the background.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What is there something wrong with something on your mind?" And he's like, "My fucking wife has an ass in her cock in the driveway."
Yeah. And then how the guy goes over after they finish the conversation.
Yeah.
She's down there, some idiot's dicking her. Everybody's standing around watching. It's a fucking embarrassment.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, listen. For the shoot, I want to talk about the look. I want to see about getting this new zoom lens.
My fucking wife has an ass in her cock in the driveway, Kurt. All right? I'm sorry if my thoughts are not on the photography of the film we're shooting tomorrow. Okay?
The girl that the Colonel brought to the party, ODs.
Yeah, she's a porn star as well in real life. I can't remember what her name is.
You seem to recognise all these people, I.
Oh, fuck you. Say hello to them every week.
And then the guy that's with her, which ODs, gets a double slap in the past. She noticed that as well.
Yeah.
He's still freaking out.
The Colonel was quite funny, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you're a doctor.
Yeah. And then this is enter Scotty J. Pip Hoffman.
40 minutes. Enter Pip C. Hoffman as Scotty J and almost just steals the movie.
Yeah, he's great as well.
Every scene he's in, he's just running away with it.
Yeah. And this is a bit where the Colonel asks to see Eddie's cock.
Yeah, a minute later. Yeah.
Could I see, please?
The Colonel says, Jack tells me you have a big cock. messy. And then his face after he sees it, he's just got that cheesy grin. Yeah.
Thank you, Eddie.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in action. Jack says you've got a great big cock.
Well, I don't know. I guess so.
May I see it?
Really?
Please. Oh, thank you, Eddie.
We'll cut to the hot tub. The uncomfortably small hot tub.
Yeah.
With Jack, Reed, and Eddie all in the hot tub.
Yeah.
I've just got cozy.
Burt Reynolds, Wahlberg, John C. Reilly. You would love to go in that hot tub with them, man.
Yeah. It's the 13-inch dick floating about.
Ping!
So, yeah, this is where he comes up with the name, Dirk Diggler. He's had a vision.
In lights.
A vision in the garden. Call himself Dirk Diggler. And then we cut to the first movie shoot. Dirk's first movie shoot, and he's nervous. He's to fuck Amber in this first scene.
Yeah.
He's still weirdly acting kind of like his mum.
Amber.
Yeah. She's like, obviously she's got the issues with her son, so she's kind of...
Yeah, she's taking
looking at him
the,
as
the
son.
Mother in role and stuff. And yeah. I think he's quite accepting of it.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously the issues with his mum, but obviously it comes later on. And
then she's trying to calm him down and says, come on my tits if you can. That's what she says.
That's what she says to him to calm him down.
But the whole thing, the whole, like, when you see, like, the porn for the first time, obviously it shifts to the different camera angles and all that. And it's the great cheesy porn acting.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is a huge cock. All that sort of stuff. Yeah. The first scene begins shooting Scotty. You see Scotty's reaction to seeing his cock.
I see it. Wait, once Diggler's... you don't see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody's checking it out and you see... Like,
tilting their heads and shit.
Their head and all that shit. And Scotty's holding the boom mic and he's literally jizzing in his pants.
Yeah, you know, everybody's lucky they're not seeing Ian's face at that moment.
As when Amber says, this is a giant cock.
Why don't you take your pants off? It's important I get an idea of your size.
No problem.
I think that you have the job, but why don't I make sure of something? This is a giant cock.
So they finish and everyone applauds, like it's gone well.
He finishes because they didn't get the money shot.
Yes.
Because he came inside her,
yep.
Just like Amber said.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Jack, I can go again.
Yeah. Yeah, impressive.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Then we're at the nightclub. Again, there's an awesome tracking shot.
Oh, wait, yeah. The shopping, 55 minutes.
Yes.
Lizard, Italian shoe shopping. Mark Wahlberg just goes, I'm going to fucking buy these. And then it just intercuts with like a load of stuff as well, because then Becky Barnett is getting chatted up by a guy.
Yep.
And the guy's like, hey, what's your star sign? She's like, Pisces. He's just like, I can deal with no Pisces. And it cuts away another thing randomly. But it's weird because her face is just like so happy and stuff. It's like, I don't know if to put that in EDR or what.
Yeah, she doesn't act like that's what he said.
No. She got rejected because she's a Pisces. 58 minutes, I've got Bert reading a review. Diggler puts on a performance worthy of 1,000 hard-ons.
Yeah, you're seeing all the headlines coming out and stuff, yeah. So we've got the dance scene, then we've got Dirk and Reed telling Jack their idea.
Yeah.
The great idea, which is fantastic for Brock Landers and Chess Rockwell.
59 minutes, got machine gun disco scene. For a low budget movie, they've got the 70s pretty spot on, haven't they?
Oh yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s it goes into in a wee bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's great, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, done good.
And then we've got like the porn awards. Mm-hmm. You see some of the awards here, like Best Cock and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
Do you see the band? It's a ridiculous band if you know it's the band at the awards show.
It's as bad as the American Pie Band.
For the yeah, but it's up there, definitely.
At the way it sits.
So then we're 1978, it cuts to now, and we see the next movie that's getting made. Maurice, who's been whining about getting a part in the film, he's the barman. He was hoping to get more of a full-on part where he's getting to fuck women and that.
Yeah, this is basically the introduction to the first thing we see, Brock Landers and Chase yes. Rockwell in action.
Yes.
See Brock sipping.
Yeah.
It's not good. Excellent.
Yeah. I've got Chase and Brock, and then I've got slip on the roof, motherfucker.
The best intro ever. Yeah, I've got slip on roof shoes, motherfucker. I've got 1 hour 4 minutes. Yeah, and poor Louis Guzman had to be the barman when he, and all he's got to do is go, no, no, no. Yeah. And the biggest fake punch ever. I trusted him. Nobody fucks with Chess and Brock. I've got dramatic point and fake punch as well. When he breaks the bottle, then he punches the Guzman, yeah. And then the fake punch. Yeah. And then John C. Reilly goes, this girl can get some of that Saturday Night Beaver.
Then we're back at Dirk's outrageous pad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the shitey portrait. What the fuck?
1 hour 6 minutes. Worst portrait of Dirk ever.
Yes.
Reminds me of Mrs. Mangle.
Yeah.
The neighbours.
Yeah. Horrifying. There were another award ceremony. And this is where we're getting into the shit now. It's a New Year, New Year's Eve, 79.
Yeah. So, literally, like I say, we've had a wee bit of the introductions, the drama. Yeah. You've got, this is like your disco phase here, with the disco music. And now we're kind of at the peak of the roller coaster. We're about to go...
Down.
Like Aerosmith. Going down.
And then we've got, this is where Cheadle's sporting the Egyptian look, which is outrageous.
This is, I can't even put it in the edit because it is a visual gag and it is hilarious.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things ever, just a quick cutaway. 1 hour, 11 minutes, Cheadle in a Rick James outfit.
Yeah.
Super freak bitch.
And then your man,
Thomas Jane,
Todd.
It's Todd Parker.
Turns up.
Yeah, John Holmes lookalike. He's an interesting cat anyway. He gets a chance to shine later.
Yeah. And this is where Jesse and Buck sort of hit it off.
Yeah.
Amber's all weird with Dirk again. I've got the son replacement type stuff. Doing coke, big time.
Yeah, introduces Dirk to coke.
Yeah. Jack's told by Floyd that the future of the industry is in video. And Jack refuses to listen. He's like, I'm a filmmaker. Video's pish. It's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
He wants nothing to do with
it. Yeah, Philip Baker Hall. Yeah. 1 hour, 17 minutes.
Floyd.
Yes, Floyd comes in. Obviously, our man from The Rock wakes up 2 times in the middle of the night to take a piss.
Yes.
Did you notice it as well? Hear him say, I like simple pleasures. Like butter in my ass. Lollipops in my mouth.
Whatever you're into, Pip.
But when he says that, right, the Colonel's in the background, but you can't see him, he's blurred out. He broke character. That was an ad-lib by Baker Hall.
Oh, right, okay.
When he's talking about butter in his ass and lollipops in his mouth, you just see in the background fucking a big massive smile and a big, like, grabbing his mouth, and that stayed in.
For fuck's sake.
Who doesn't like butter in his ass? Lollipop. Who doesn't?
I'm not a complicated man. I like cinema. In particular, I like to see people fucking on film. But I don't want to win an Oscar and I don't want to reinvent a wheel. I like simple pleasures like butter in my ass, lollipops in my mouth. That's just me. That's just something that I enjoy. Call me crazy, call me a pervert.
So yeah, and then it's 1 hour 19 minutes. Scotty shows the car.
Shows the car, and then this is where he kisses Dirk. Dirk's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And this is the infamous, I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Poor Scotty, obviously, mixed signals. He's harmless, but he's so desperate wanting to get the piece of that Dirk.
Yes.
And he's like, after that, he's like, please let me kiss you in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then Dirk's like, fuck, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? And he's like, you want to kiss me? And he's like, it's just the booze, just the alcohol, and I'm all right. And eventually he calms it down, and like Dirk's just like leaves him being stuff in, goes, yeah, I'll see you in a second. And he's sitting in the car, and he's like, I'm a fucking idiot. 10 minutes later, I'm a fucking idiot. And honestly, for about 2 minutes, he's just saying, I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Scotty,
please,
I don't...
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth?
No!
Please let me.
Scotty!
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to grab you like that or scare you or
it's
anything.
It's all right, man.
Do you want to kiss me or...
Scotty!
No? I'm a fucking idiot.
At this point, Bill's looking for his wife.
Yeah, so this is 1979 going into 1980, and it's the countdown to the new year.
Yeah.
1 hour, 22 minutes. Little Bill brings in the new year.
Yeah. He finds her, once again, fucking somebody in a room.
Yeah.
He wanders, sort of dazed, to his car. Gets a gun out of the glovey. Casually walks back in and caps them both. And then shoots himself. Gun in the mouth. Right on the bells.
Right on the bells.
Kablamo.
So literally, he killed two people in 1979 and killed himself in 1980.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting as well. It just sums up Little Bill's character. When he goes into the car, he unlocks it and then he locks the car behind him. Again. Even though he knows what he's going to do.
Yeah. And the fucking shit-eating grin.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's obviously a really dark moment. That's your first, like, kind of slap in the face, you know, punch in the gut type thing. It goes blank.
But then...
And then it says 80s, and then...
The gold begins. The documentary went dark.
It's jealousy. It's deceitfulness. It's vindictiveness. It's all that stuff, you know? But, I mean, God, what can you expect when you're on top, you know? It's like... Napoleon, when he was the king, you know, people were just constantly trying to conquer him, you know, in the Roman Empire. So it's history repeating itself all over again.
Dark is now on the kind of dark side as well, fully coked up, but this is full
brilliant.
Full
read as well on this documentary, where they're
strung out, just totally living the high life.
Yeah,
life is going fast, and they're just hanging on.
Yeah, but read. When they're on about violence. Yeah. Society is plagued by violence.
Amber, I live in this world. I don't like violence any more than you do. Violence is a bad thing. But when you see violence in films, it's, you know, if movies, films caused violence, we'd be able to wipe out violence tomorrow. Boom, no more films. That's fine with me. I'll find something else to do. I'll fuck on my own time. You know, I got other interests. I'm a magician. And, you know, hopefully I like, you know, that will be something that I focus on in the future because you can't fuck forever. I realize that. Anyway, violence is something that plagues us as a society.
It goes to a documentary made by Amber.
Yeah.
Based in Dirk Diggler and John C. Reilly, Brock and Reed, on the set of Brocklander 7, Oral Majesty.
Yes, Oral Majesty. And reads.
I wish Police Academy 7 was nicknamed that. That would have been better.
More people might have watched it.
I know. And it just cuts in, intersperses with scenes from the movie. And like Mark Wahlberg is, I find out who sent you. Because he's sleeping. And then like the wifey comes in and he pins her on the bed. And he's like struggling. And he goes, lie still, or I'll punch you in the goddamn face. I'll find out who sent you. And then he starts licking her tit and shit. It's like, Jesus.
Who sent you? Who sent you?
Get the fuck off me.
Lie still, or I'll punch you in the goddamn face.
Fuck off.
I'll find out who sent you.
Yeah. And then we've got the famous... I'm gonna ask you once more, and I'm gonna ask you nice. Where the fuck is Ringo, you bitch?
And a delayed slap, and it's a delayed as well. So you see the slap, and then it's like she moves her head, and then she goes
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you once more, and I'm gonna ask you nice. Where the fuck is Ringo, you bitch?
Fuck you.
He's always looking for Ringo.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Never find Ringo.
And then this is the constantly conquer.
Yeah.
Like Napoleon when he was king.
Dirk is not the smartest guy.
And it's Amber making the documentary. And then we cut to...
Great music in that.
Yeah, at the end.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
For Dirk Diggler, the future is something to look forward to, not to fear. He is a creative man of many interests. Film, poetry, karate, music, and dance... He is a man of passion and mystery. He is a man of lust.
And then this is where the colonel phones Jack.
Yeah.
Goes all dark again.
Yeah.
He's been arrested. And he explains that he was basically with a 15-year-old. And she OD'd.
Yeah, so obviously it's him, and they're doing a phone call in jail with Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And Burt was like, please tell me, you're not done this. You can't have done this.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he kind of admits. Not in many ways, but
he admits. Yeah.
So tiny, Jack. They're so tiny. Yeah, they're just creepy. I couldn't help myself. And
he admits to being a nonce. That's what I've got.
He pretty much does. And then, like...
My your friend.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then obviously the phone call cuts off, and then you just see him like behind the glass, and he's trying to speak to Jack, and
yeah, Jack's away.
Just like, hangs up the phone and leaves. But I've got the director's commentary as well. I've not listened to it for this one, but I used to listen to it all the time back in the days. Paul Thomas Anderson, the director, always got emotional in this scene. So it was the last scene at the shot of the colonel. You see him very quickly at the end. But the actor, Robert Ridgely, actually passed away just a couple of months after filming this.
Oh, right, okay.
So it got released after he passed. And he says it's quite just emotional just watching him as his last sort of film at the scene, because he was a voiceover guy.
Yeah.
Was obviously him cutting off the voice and then sort of fading to black.
Yeah.
So he was quite emotional with that.
So enough emotion. We're going to get out of the quagmire of despair.
Because, yeah, there's another peak.
Dirk doing coke with Todd. Erratically.
Perfect timing.
But we've got Jack introduces Dirk to Johnny. Johnny Doe, the new guy.
1 hour, 33 minutes.
Dirk is pissed
Johnny
off.
Johnny Doe.
Dirk is pissed off. This is basically like the newer version of him.
Yeah.
And he's not happy. This is the infamous headband that we've discussed before. Dirk sees Johnny talking to Amber. And then this is the bit where he can't get hard.
Yeah, basically Dirk thinks he's a threat. Which
He kind of is.
Kind of is, but you know, so he's just strung out now. And he's got coke cock or whatever. He's flaccid.
Yeah, I'm a fucking rock and roll star.
He's trying to get himself hard, looking in the mirror. I'm a fucking rock and roll star. Gotta keep a cock hard. And you can't do it. And he's just sweating. And then eventually, obviously, he must get ready because he's out. He wants to shoot.
Yeah, this is brilliant. I'm ready to shoot, Jack tells him. 20 minutes. My cock is ready. I want to fuck. Let's go. And then this is the whole, you're not a fucking actor.
Yeah. So obviously, Johnny Doe is like seeing what's up. And
Johnny tells him to shut up. Shut up.
He says, you're not a fucking actor. And then Johnny Doe, just cocks his head to the side. Shut up. Like a fucking Saved by the Bell bully. And then he goes, I'm not going to shoot you because of the state you're in.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And then Dirk Diggler says, what? The fucking state of California? I know where the fucking am, Jack. And then obviously Bert fucking tries to take it. It's like fucking Samson grabbing his headband.
Yeah.
The source of his power.
He's like, you're not my boss. You're not my fucking boss. And he's like, you're not my fucking mom. To Amber.
Yeah.
And this is where Jack goes, ho!
I know karate!
Tries to snatch the headband. And Dirk storms out. Reed sort of follows him and is apologising to Jack. You know, I'll calm him down.
Calm him down. And then it just cuts to an awkward shot of Julianne Moore. And then it cuts across to Scotty. He's just sitting there, glaking as fuck.
Jack, I'm ready to shoot now. My cock is ready. I want to fuck. Let's go.
20 minutes.
I want to fuck. Who's it going to be?
What?
Who do you want to start fucking, me or him?
Me?
What? Shut up, okay?
I didn't do anything to you.
What? You're not even an actor, man. You got no business being here. You're not a fucking actor.
Yes, I am.
No. I'm an actor, man. I'm a real fucking actor.
Shut up.
What? Shut up, man.
I want you to go in there. I want you to cool off. Okay? Just cool off. And we'll come back and shoot the scene.
I said I'm ready to shoot.
Not now.
I'm not going to tell you again, Jack.
I'm not going to shoot you in the state you're in.
What do you mean state? State of California? I know where the fuck I am,
Jesus
Jack.
Jesus Christ, you've been up for 2 days.
No, I haven't been up for 2 days.
Nevertheless, you look like you haven't been to sleep. So I ain't going to shoot you this way because you don't look good.
know what? You don't tell me anything, okay?
Really?
You're not the boss of me.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're the king, huh?
Yes!
Don't fucking touch me, man!
No.
You shut up, too! You're not the mother of me, and you're not my boss. You're not my mother. You're not my fucking mom.
Hey,
man.
No, I'll take you home.
I'm ready to shoot the scene. I want to shoot the scene. I'm fine.
I want you out of here.
Look, it's over, okay? I'm done.
Listen,
now, I'm ready to shoot.
I want you.
Don't you fucking call me a kid.
What?
I'll fuck you up. You want to see me kick some ass? I do fucking karate. You want to fucking
get out. Come on. You are fired.
So now we're at the recording studio. You got the touch, take 7.
What's it? Yeah.
Oh, Reed dancing.
You got the touch. You got the power.
He sings better than me.
Yeah. Oh.
Shit.
After all this said and done,
you never walk, you never run, you're a winner.
And then it's a heat.
Feel my heat.
I've got horrifying singing.
Yeah, it is.
Feel my heat. Feel my heat. I think we should repeat that again. Feel my heat.
Feel my heat.
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
Then we cut to...
The whole next like 5-10 minutes is gold.
Yeah.
Just montage after montage. Yeah.
Johnny shooting porn with Jack.
Yeah, this is Johnny's debut.
Lock and load, Jack.
The lassie's lying there naked. Is he going to fuck me in the ass?
Would you like it?
It would be nice. And Burt Reynolds is like, fuck her in the ass. And then Johnny just goes, lock and load, Jack. Really creepily.
Yeah.
And then it's just a montage of Johnny Dorbios.
Yeah. And it's got, it's intercutting Amber and Roller Girl frantic coke scene.
Yeah.
As in amongst all this.
Yes. You know, can you kind of call your mom?
Yeah, and then we've got one of Johnny's movies where he's holding a gun to the woman's head while he gets a BJ.
And he goes, that's it. Look, my balls. Fuck me. And then it's like, you live.
Yeah.
You live. Wait, what? If it was rubbish, he was going to shoot you in the head.
Pull his cock off.
Pull his cock off at the same time. And then it cuts him in and he goes, yes! Yeah. That whole CS bitch is ridiculous.
You live.
I don't shoot my cock off.
Yes, bitch! Todd, Brock and Dirk are total cokeheads by now. Buck and Jesse are trying to get a loan for Buck's super stereo world that he's wanting to open. I've got a line from Amber here. I really miss Dirk. He's so fucking talented, the bastard. Reed and Dirk demanding the tapes from the recording studio.
Right. Let's just take a pause because this is probably one of my favourite scenes in the whole movie.
Our stuff is that good.
Yeah.
We sculpture.
Yeah. We sculpture. Let me explain in simple arithmetic. 1, 2, 3. But that's Dirk Diggler saying all that stuff. That's great. He's in the background. But John C. Reilly steps up to the plate and knocks this out the fucking park. This is an acting masterclass. This whole monologue is so just... Oh, I'm going to put it in the edit full.
Oh, the magic on the tapes one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That magic, it's ours. YP, MP. Yeah. Your problem, my problem. And, this is brilliant.
In our situation, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
We can't pay the price of the demo tapes. Unless we take the demo tapes to the record company and get paid.
Hello, exactly.
That's not an MP, that's a YP. Your problem. Come up with the money and I'll give you the tapes. That's it.
Okay, all right, now you're talking above my head, all right? I don't know this industry jargon, YP, MP, whatever, okay? All I know is that I cannot get a record contract. We cannot get a record contract unless I take these tapes. And granted, the tapes themselves are your you own them, okay? But the magic that is on the tapes, that fucking heart and soul that we put into those tapes, that is ours. And you don't own that. Now I need to take that magic and get it to the record company. Okay, and they're waiting for us. We're supposed to be there a half hour ago. We look like assholes right now, man.
Let me explain to him. In simple arithmetic. 1, 2, 3. Cause you don't fucking get it, Bert. You give us the tapes. We get the record contract. We'd come back and give you your fucking money. Have you heard the tapes? Have you even heard them? We're guaranteed a record deal. Our stuff is that good.
Okay, now
we sculpture.
I got it. I got it. Now I understand. I know you want it to happen. It's not gonna happen. It's a catch 22. And that's it.
What the fuck does that mean? What is a catch 22, Bert?
I need two, Jonathan. Think about it.
You know what I'm thinking about, man?
Sir!
I'm thinking about kicking some fucking ass!
Sir!
Come here, man!
Just gotta get him out of here! Thanks a lot for backing us up, too. Real good.
So then we see Buck gets refused the loan.
Yeah. Oh, apparently the guys that they're complaining to as well is Robert Downey Sr.
All right, okay. There you go. Yeah, he gets refused the loan because the money they've got is from porn.
Yeah, because you might think, oh, is it because, you know, race or whatever, but it's not. It's actually... Because he's a porn star.
Yeah. The crew are now shooting 100% on videotape.
100%.
But Jack doesn't seem happy.
No, he's not.
He's not really happy with the product. Amber's got a court appearance with her ex about custody.
Yeah.
With kids.
Apparently the judge was an adult film actress as well.
Yeah, I've got that. That's one I knew.
Oh, shit.
You knew them all.
No, because that wasn't that actually based on her... situation. I think she was like...
She was a cokehead?
No, getting custody from the kid, but like the guy refused because of her occupation.
Yeah, she loses custody due to the drugs and porn, basically. Jack and Roller Girl are filming on the lookout. This is uber cringe, this.
When we're talking about Roller Coaster, we're going down again.
Yeah, it's on videotape. It's intercutting between two scenes, Return of the Jedi-esque, but with cocks and tits. Dirk gets picked up by...
Where's the fucking Ewoks in this?
they're small furry things. Dirk gets picked up by a dude.
Oh, shit.
Ominous music. Jack's talking to a random guy on the street. Convinces the guy to get in the limo with Roller Girl. And then this is the guy with Dirk says he's not gay, but he wants to watch him jerk off.
Yeah, and you can... Well, I actually thought that guy looked like the guy for Fright Night.
Yeah, a wee bit. Yep.
Evil Ed?
Yeah.
Because he went into the porn industry after Fright Night. And, yeah, no, I looked him up. It's a different guy. It's a different guy. But, this whole wee bit as well. And, obviously, the guy that let into the roller golf thing is the same guy as the school.
Yeah.
The fucking marble mouth. Yeah. Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah. And then the guy asked Roller Girl if she remembers him from school. And it just fucking... destroys.
She does. Yeah, she does.
Dirk spanks the monkey. Whatever way you want to put it.
Not that way. Maybe masturbate.
Oils
in the
baseball bat, whatever you want to say.
What did fucking Jim's dad say in American Pie? Pulling the pud.
Yeah.
Pounding the pud.
Flogging the dolphin, whatever. It cuts between the two scenes. Guys, two wham bam. We're Roller Girl. And Jack's not happy. So they pull over, and then the guy complains that she's left him with a hard-on. He said, the least you could do is jack me off.
Yeah, that guy's just a creep anyway.
Your films suck now anyway.
And that's what gets Bert upset.
Yeah. Jack rugby tackles him and cracks his puss. That's what I've
got. Yeah.
Dirk.
He's going full deliverance on him.
Yeah. Cuts back, and Dirk kind of get hard on again. Suddenly, two trucks pull up. Full of guys, and Dirk gets a kick in, and it cuts back to Jack knocking fuck out the kid on the pavement.
Big style.
And then Roller Girl stomping his fucking head.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck. I was like, the guy survives this. I know you see him moving, but.
You see him moving, but yeah, roller skates, and she goes for it.
Yeah, like, stomping his face in that. This Dirk gets called Donkey Dick. And Roller Girl has a total meltdown. You fucker! And stomping on the guy's face and that. Hey, Jesse and Buck drive past. This is quite cool how it sort of goes into the next.
Yeah, so when you just think, you know, maybe
Pulp Fiction-esque.
We're up for like a wee bit of an upturn, and says, no, this is, yeah. The limo goes one way, and then we see the car go the other way, and now it follows the car.
Yeah.
And it's Don Cheadle and his pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah. He goes in to buy some donuts.
Lots of donuts.
Yeah, that's what I've got. He buys a fucking ton of them.
Yeah.
There's only the two of them.
And it's like a minute and a half of him choosing donuts.
Yeah. And the grumpiest robber of all time comes into the shop. I mean, how many times does he say motherfucker? What you want? Motherfucker, I'm wanting money, motherfucker. The owner empties the safe. Meanwhile, in the background, there's like a sort of redneck customer pulling a gun. Buck's caught in the middle.
Yeah, because Buck's clocks it and he's like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. He's caught in the middle of the redneck guy, the owner and the robber. They all get shot dead. Guns go off and shit and Buck's left.
So the redneck guy shoots the robber. The robber shoots the redneck guy. The redneck gun goes off again and shoots the guy behind the counter.
Yeah.
Leaving Don Cheadle, who's in all white, even a white tie, covered in blood and brains.
Yeah, and he's staring at the bag of money that's just been filled.
Grab
he takes it, which is good. You're sort of, well, just fucking take it. That's what I was thinking. And he takes it as he leaves the shop.
Did he grab the donuts as well?
Well, he should have.
He should have,
And then we cut to Todd, Reed and Dirk.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favourite scene of the film.
So, 2 hours, 7 minutes now. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse or more tense times.
Tense times.
It is fucking Sister Christian.
Scene. Yes. Todd's plan.
This is a brilliant scene. This is, if you want to show somebody one scene in the movie, this is this is it.
Oh, yeah.
It's an acting masterclass for everyone and everybody gets to shine.
Yeah, I love this. Todd's plan is to sell a bag of baking soda to Alfred Molina, pretending that it's coke. They get to the house.
Yeah.
And the Chinese guy with the firecrackers.
Yeah, so they get to this house, and how would you describe Alfred Molina's character?
Very manic.
Very manic. He's obviously, he's loving life.
Yeah.
He's high on something. He's high on life.
Pants and robe.
He's got a red satin robe. Wife hunts on. Moustache.
Yeah, brilliant.
And he's got a wee Asian guy that's lighting off bangers while listening to Sister Christian.
Listening to bangers. Lighting off bangers.
Yeah, and he's got a big, muscly, bloody security guy as well that weighs up all like his drugs and shit.
Yes.
And handles all that stuff. So he's... Aye.
So Molina, I've got...
He's like Don Simpson, basically.
Yeah. I've got... He's total psyched up by his music while he's listening to it.
Loves it,
They're asking what's the price for the half key. Thomas Jane pisses himself for too long. Like when he asks the price, he like laughs. Obviously, the nervous tension all through it.
Yeah.
But he laughs for ages and then he says that he's won $5,000. Molina's heavy, hands over the cash straight away. Reed notices he's got a shooter. Dirk and Reed are really nervous and they're like itching to go. They're like, they kind of don't want anything to do with this, but they're there. The sort of the heavy guy weighs out the fake coke in the background. They're shitting themselves that he's going to test it. Molina gets high, well, even more high.
He's already fucking high.
And I've got fucking firecrackers again. They keep banging and you fuck it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's great. It's just like, it's set up beautifully. And if there's like a little dial, you know, if you imagine like the Back to the Future dial in the beginning and it's just like, he's just cranking it up slowly. That's exactly what this is like. The tension just goes, clicks up one, clicks up one, clicks up again, and it's just so much.
Yeah.
And then you've got the close-up shot of Dirk Diggler for like a good minute.
Just coming to that, And Molina's manic, and he brings out a gun, puts a single bullet in it.
Yeah, he plays fucking...
Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Puts a single bullet in it, puts it to his chin, and then pulls the trigger. They're all like, well, what the fuck? Crazy. And Molina explains how a mixtape works. Like it's a new invention that he's come up with. In mid-rant, when he's going on about, they can't fucking tell me when I can listen to it, and the tape just cuts out, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Makes him look like a total asshole. I don't want to get told what or when I can listen to something. More firecrackers, and then they're like, what the fuck? They're all shitting themselves. And he sees they're shitting themselves, so he's like, don't worry, it's Cosmo. He's Chinese. I've got, who the fuck is Cosmo and why is he in Molina's house? Then we've got Jesse's girl.
Yeah. Springfield, Rick Springfield.
Yes, Molina dancing and singing.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And this is the bit you were talking about, the Wahlberg zone out, which is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I would love to find out what PTA was thinking of.
Yeah.
Because all this shit is happening.
Yeah.
Right, you're going round and then it's just a tight close-up of Mark Wahlberg. I'm not even sure he was thinking it was on the camera. He obviously knew he was on the camera, but he didn't know that was the close-up tight shot of him. But it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the whole, you can read the whole fucking situation through his face. And that was just thought, that was, I know a lot of films like this, you could say, oh, it's wanky, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that. But that was just
class.
That was chef's kiss. That was brilliant.
Yeah. So Doug gets up. We got to split. Todd tells Molina that he cranks it up. He's now wanting to rob him. I want the contents of the goddamn fucking floor scene.
Thomas Jane, this is it. He just kicks down the door here. Well, literally, he does in a minute. Yeah. But he is just brilliant.
And they can't believe that he's done it.
Because, and then it cuts to Todd in the chair. And then it's we're going fucking nowhere. I'm going fucking nowhere. He's talking to himself first, nobody's hearing him. And then he just announces that he's going to rob the motherfucking place.
Pulls a shooter.
Yes.
We're not leaving yet. We're here now. And we want something else from you. Hey, hey. We want something else from you.
What? Todd, what the hell are you doing, man? Let's just go.
In the master bedroom, under the bed, in a floor safe. Understand?
What the fuck is the matter with you, Todd? Let's go.
Hot.
Come on, man.
Shut up, Dirk. I told you I got a plan. I got a very good plan.
Are you kidding me, Kitty?
Nah, I'm not, see? I'm not kidding. I want what's in the safe. We want what is in the goddamn safe in a goddamn master bedroom and a fucking floor on a goddamn fucking floor safe, that's all.
Tom, don't be crazy, okay? Sir, you don't know anything about this, okay? This is not at all what we wanted. Shut the fuck up, sir. Do not reach for your gun. Don't reach for your gun.
Molina shoots Todd in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
The heavy pulls out two shooters, John Woo style. Todd lights up the heavy, is what I've got there.
Yeah.
Todd gets shot by Molina with a fucking shotgun blast.
Yeah, Todd hits himself with a lamp accidentally. So when you see him going to the door before he kicks it in, you see he stands on a big tall lamp and it clumps down and cocks someone. cocks him. And then he kicks the door in and then he gets a shotgun blast in the gut.
Yeah. And then, of course, this is your second favourite puppy scene from the film. Come on, you puppies! And then we get 99 Loof Balloons plays as Molina comes out with the shotgun chasing them. And then some crazy fucking bongo music comes on as he runs out into the street. He sort of gives chase. Dirk runs out of fuel. Reed sort of disappears over a fucking hedge.
Yeah, he disappears pretty early.
Yeah. And then the next thing, it's sort of next morning, Dirk's pushing the car and he turns up at Jack's house, asks for help and apologising. They sort of forgive each other and hug it out.
2 hours 18. Jack, could you please help me?
Yeah.
And that was beautiful because you don't need a big diatribe. He needs help.
Yep.
And he's asking for help.
Yes.
And I think it was nice, talking about the mother thing, the father thing. You know, he is a father figure.
Yeah. Amber's acting all like his mum again. Then we got, this is great. Buck Super Stereo World.
Yeah, we've got another
advert,
a montage here, so God only knows. So if you can imagine, this isn't now a roller coaster, it's a bit of a ghost train there before. You're in the dark and now you've just come at the light at the end. The ride's almost coming to a close and you're out into the light. And God only knows plays the boys. And I've just got Cheeto tracksuit.
Background dancers I've got.
Yeah.
All you need to do is walk over, get down, and come inside us. Word.
That's what he said. Oh, I thought you were speaking to me.
No, that's on his advert.
Okay.
Amber's directing her own stuff. Scotty's with her.
Yeah.
Roller girl's sitting her exams. Colonel's getting slapped about in prison.
Yeah.
For being a nonce.
Yeah.
In case we forgot. And then we've got Maurice, the Rodriguez brothers.
Good man.
Nightclub spelt wrong, motherfucker.
It's spelling wrong.
And then we've got
the name wrong.
Oh no. And then we've got
it's a G, not a Q.
Reed as a magician.
John C. Reilly, magician mofo. Brilliant.
I've got swords, motherfucker. Topless women in box.
Got jazz hands, motherfucker.
Yeah. And then when he says it, then naughty, naughty.
Yeah, because he pulls the lassie's, gets her tits out.
Yes, he does. And then Jesse gives birth.
Yes.
And Scott, I've got Scotty's filming in the end zone.
Yeah, Scotty's filming right in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Snatch cam right there.
Yeah, no zoom needed for that.
Yeah. Everyone's at Jack's again.
Yeah.
A great tracking shot again, going around the place, the painting the bill.
Yeah.
Almost in the house, same place that he fucking family. Blew his head off.
Yeah, another, yeah, Mrs. Mangold painting again of little Bill.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny, like, Burt Reynolds is walking about and he sees, like, the wee kid in the pool as well, the wee baby, and goes, he's not going to piss in the pool, is he?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
This is where Burt says, I'm staring at the foxiest bitch in the whole world, Amber.
Is that romantic?
Beautiful. Dirk's, this is the final scene.
Yeah, the very
Dirk's
final
psyching
scene.
Himself up in front of the mirror. He's holding a fag, Travolta-esque.
Yeah.
Bit of Broken Arrow here.
Yeah.
And then he says again, where the fuck is Ringo?
He's still trying to find Ringo.
And then this is where he whips out the big fake schlong.
Yeah.
Apparently he's still got that.
Yeah, so, but I think it's degraded now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he shows it now because, aye. Obviously.
His last words are, that's right. He just takes it out for no reason and just puts it back in his trousers.
Yeah. So let's dissect this scene then. So obviously he's psyching himself up.
Yeah.
He's in a better place now.
Yes.
And he does his little, he practices his lines. He does a massive monologue about finding Ringo.
Yeah.
Not finding Ringo.
Where the fuck is Ringo?
Then he gets up and then he just takes out his gigantic 13-inch fake cock.
Yes.
Just puts it out and then he tucks
yeah,
it back
in. Yeah, the camera you sort of only see from the waist down as well. The
yeah,
way
so
that
it is just
you
his
don't
cock.
See his face. Yeah, it's just his cock. We can't fit your face in, Wahlberg. Just your cock.
Well, 13 inches, yeah. So then he tucks it back in and then he does a karate fucking thing again. Yeah. And then does his jacket. That's right. And then he walks out.
Brilliant.
And then it's yellow.
Yes.
It's a living thing.
A living thing.
It's a 13-inch thing.
It's a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that necessary?
I think you could argue it's not necessary, but at the same time, the whole movie's kind of revolved around that.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's all the fuss about? We'll show you. I don't think you're like, oh my God, they shouldn't have done that. But at the same time, I remember at the cinema, all the guys were just pissing themselves laughing. It's like,
well, that's what I'm trying to get at. I totally get it. And I think we've come a long way of sort of, you know, redressing the balance of nude scenes for females to males. You know, there's a lot of guys now getting their tally whackers. Yeah,
unnecessarily.
As I say, Porky's style. No, but women get their have to get their boobs out all the time unnecessarily
as
well.
Yeah.
So guys should be doing the same.
No.
Now, I heard... And the grapevine at Mark Wahlberg is quite... He was like Calvin Klein model and all that shit.
Yeah.
I think he should have just pulled out his real cock.
No, but... So wait a minute. You wanted to see Marky Mark's cock.
I want to see real.
But what happens if he didn't have a big cock? And he's meant to have a big cock. It wouldn't work.
Fucking... Wake that shit
he
up,
a fucking, he knows a fucking rock and roll star. It wouldn't work.
He needs a wee blue chew or something.
The Funky Bunch.
Yeah, the Funky Bunch needs to go there. Fucking Apollo Creed style and yank it. Ding, ding.
I'm shocked.
No, but I'm saying, if you think about it, right? So,
yeah,
it's revolving around his cock, the whole thing.
Yes.
Like this pertain... Okay, stay with me on this one. Pertain it to like his jaws, all right? The less you see,
you'll get a real shark. Fucking Bobby Shaw get chomped by a real shark.
Fucking yes. But like when you see like the jaws come out, especially like Jaws 4, it looks fake as fuck. And that's the last thing you're going to remember the Boogie Nights is a fake cock.
You weren't real.
If they're going down the fuel route, then just whip it out.
But then you get a lot of fake tits in films as well.
Yeah, I know, but doesn't he look right? And that's what I'm saying. Like, see if like they'd done it like totally like perfect and you didn't know that it was an absolute rubbery fake cock, then go for it. You know, get that shit out. You know?
Yeah, I could live without seeing his cock, to be fair, and I'm not itching to see a real cock instead.
No, but they've obviously made that decision.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of undermines the movie. Like, that's the last thing you're going to see, is a rubber cock.
Yeah, like, maybe if they made it now, they would use a real one. Maybe just back then, it wasn't...
We want real cocks, damn it!
This is the darkest turn that the whole thing's taken for me.
Anyway.
Let's talk cock.
Anyway, yeah, it is that. I suppose, I just think it's a... I don't want people to go away laughing. Like you said, that you saw it in the cinema up in Aberdeen. And there were folk laughing at the end.
Yeah.
It doesn't deserve to be laughed at. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And either they get around it by not showing it, or something else could have been done a wee bit better. And if they want to go balls out, get balls and cock out.
You wouldn't see them behind that.
Exactly.
You live.
Yes!
Yeah, oh well.
Right. And did you also notice as well, because I watched it right to the end, you don't see the cock again, but you see a wee recording of Dirk Diggler. He's still trying to find Ringo. He goes, "Where the fuck is Ringo, bitch?" So he's still finding fucking Ringo.
Yeah.
All right. Have we cocked each other?
Well, yeah. I think, yeah. Okay. The word cock's been said too many times. Too many times. Tense times. So now comes the part where we give our ratings for Boogie Nights.
I'll go first on this one.
Yeah, I remember we watched this film loads back in the day and quoted it loads. I've not watched it in a number of years, but watching it again, like, I feel bad that I haven't watched it in a lot of years because it's so good. It's such a really, really good film. And it's, when you try and describe it to people, it's very difficult. And a lot of people either think, oh, that's just... it's about porn, it's too smutty, I'm not really into that, I'm not going to sit with my wife or girlfriend and watch that, that's just a lot of shit. Or if you say it's more serious, I remember the poster said it's a cross between Pulp Fiction and Goodfellas. It's not, but it does, there's elements of that in it, I think. I think there are, yeah, I can see why they've put that on the poster. Obviously it's big films, but it's more like that than if you were to just to give a description, it's about porn and it's like the bits that we quote. All the Johnny Doe stuff and everything, that's not going to appeal to everyone. But the quality of the performances and the quality of the direction is it's great.
Did you say direction and direction?
Obviously Ian wasn't happy with the cock at the end, he wanted the real deal.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a great film and I can't go. It's got to be 9.5 for me out of 10. Yeah, and it doesn't lose the half mark because of the cop. I can live with that.
It's that good. You're right. So yeah, everything that you were saying is it is absolutely difficult to, for somebody that doesn't know the movie, to sort of describe what it is about. Because I don't know, has it got an unfair name attached there, or people are just like judging the book by its cover? Because it's one of these ensemble films that really struck lightning in a bottle with this. Plus, the people.
Plus, I think the name Boogie Nights, some people think it's more a 70s disco type thing. They don't realise, because I'm sure there's like a stage show of Boogie Nights and it is a 70s disco type show. Hmm. So I don't know if that affects it as well.
I don't know. But yeah, it's just an excellent, well done film that's a great character study, and it just happened to revolve around the porn business, but it's about a family, really.
Game of pleasure.
Yeah, Royal Majesty. You know, but it is ultimately about a family.
Yeah.
A dysfunctional family. Amber's the mum, Bert's the dad. You know, Dirk, Roller Girls, the kids and all that shit. And it's just, you know, all the sad stuff that happens. And it's quite interesting because BTA says that at the end of the film, nothing's changed. They're still where they are at the start.
More or less.
I kind of disagree with that. You know, I do think that there's lessons being learned. Whenever they make the same mistakes again, who knows? That's just up to whatever for you to decide. But I really just love the performances. I think everybody gets their one moment to shine. You know, we're talking about the Don Cheadle, Rick James, you know, even like the donut scene.
Oh.
Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
You know, John C. Reilly and everything, and Scotty with everything, even like the Roller Girl as well, when she just loses it. You know? Every single one is just brilliant. Even Little Bill, who's only in it for a second.
Yeah, his mullet will live forever, though.
Absolutely, and that Mrs. Mangold painting. You know? It is just really interesting to watch. I think some people might struggle to take the sort of darkness and the lightheartedness.
Yeah.
You know, because it is, there's a lot of peaks and troughs. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a major roller coaster. And in one second, it's insanely funny, deadpan funny. And I don't think PTA actually gets enough credit for how funny he could be.
Yeah.
But the dark stuff is really dark and the funny stuff is hilarious, like almost Naked Gun-esque.
Yeah.
You know, which will live on for us, for infamy, forever. And it's just whenever people can sort of cope with that, hold in one hand the seriousness and hold in the other hand the humour, whenever they can sort of gel together, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But for us, it certainly goes in there. And I'm not sure PTA's had another film like it. Like, I know he had, like, Magnolia right after. And Tom Cruise stuff, really good. You know, the Frank T.G. Mackey.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's done anything that reached the heights of Boogie Nights again.
No.
Anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying that because I didn't get a real cock at the end.
he's devastated.
No, as for me, like I say, it was really nice to go back and watch again. But for me, I am going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
I'm going to ask you once more, and I'm going to ask you nice. Where the fuck is Ringo, you bitch?
Okay, that's us done with Boogie Nights. And we move on to everybody's favourite part of the podcast. I got 5 on it.
Creep on in.
The movie quiz.
Yeah.
As it's known these days for season 2.
That's right. And for this one, because we took a pause to do the top 40.
Yeah.
So then it's back to you asking me.
Sure.
And obviously the next one, it will be the mini-sode. It will be me asking you the questions.
No problemo. So you ready for this?
I'm ready. So 5 questions.
Yeah.
If I get it right in the first attempt, I get 2 points. If I need multiple choice, it'll be 1 point.
Yeah.
It's just for shits and gigs, but people at home listening, play along. I'm sure you'll get more than me. Let us know how you do. Right, Neil. Give me 5.
Question 1. Which Arnold Schwarzenegger movie has made him the most money?
I think it might be one where he's attached as a producer or he's got like a gross net income. I initially want to say T2, but I am going to say Last Action Hero.
So do you get the multi-choice or do you not get it? If you...
No, you can see the multi-choice. I've got it wrong, though.
Right. Multiple choice is Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
Twins. True Lies.
Oh, it's True Lies.
No.
Oh, fuck.
It's Twins. Wow. Him, DeVito and Reitman, they basically cut a deal. Because it was his first comedy, nobody wanted to put up the money, etc. They cut a deal that, because I've just read his recent book, and he basically says Twins is the film that's made him personally the most money.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I thought I'll put it in there because it's Like, you would never get that. Or it's a difficult one. Thought you were on the right track, though. You were on the right track. Because, yeah. Yeah, there's a finger in many pies.
Right, Jim.
Right. Question two. What is Laura Dern's most financially successful movie?
Okay, I'm going to just take a punt.
So you don't want multiple choice?
No, I think I'm going to guess.
You sure?
Well, the two springs to mind.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park and Last Jedi. I'm going to go for Last Jedi.
Correct.
Oh.
Jurassic Park, 1.1 billion.
Billion with a B.
Jurassic World Dominion, 1 billion. Last Jedi, 1.3 billion.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I thought.
So correct.
B.
Third question.
Mm.
Taglines.
Yeah, I like that.
Tag.
Tag. Tag.
The darkest side of magic. The strongest side of man.
The darkest side of magic. The what?
The darkest side of magic. The strongest side of man.
Let's go multi-choice-o.
Conan the Barbarian.
Aye, I was thinking about that.
Red Sonja.
Oh.
Or Conan the Destroyer.
Shit, I was thinking it was one of the Conans. Destroyer.
Correct. That is the more magical of the two. It's less Jimmy Jones.
Of course.
Next question.
Mm-hmm. Is this question four?
Question four.
Mm-hmm.
Which horror franchise?
Horror.
Horror.
It's a horror the way you said that.
Horrific. Has the most movies? I'm including remakes.
Oh, just in general?
The works.
So you're not giving me anything, you're just...
That's it.
Chucking that out.
Oh, wow. Throwing it out there. It's out there.
Oh.
Take it, it's yours.
There is a few in my head, like...
Yeah.
I think I'll go for multiple choice, though, just so I didn't slip up.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
No.
Friday the 13th?
Maybe.
Halloween?
Friday.
It's Halloween. Halloween, shit. Including the new ones, the Rob Zombie ones.
Oh,
they're
right, yeah. Yep,
13.
Yep. Okay. How much Friday?
Friday the 13th, 12. Nightmare on Elm Street, 9.
Yeah, I'd
die. Okay. Final question.
Final.
How many Oscars did Aliens win?
None.
You've jumped in with that.
Yeah.
The answer's two.
Shit.
It won Best Effects and Best Sound Effects Editing. In fact, that's only one. It won Best Effects, Sound Effects Editing, and it won Best Effects, Visual Effects.
All the effects.
Yes. It was also nominated. It was nominated for 7 in total. Sigourney Weaver was up for 1. Best Art Direction, Best Sound, Best Editing, and Best Score.
And what about Newt?
Yeah, Newt got fuck all.
She got more than she did in Alien 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, well, there you go. So how much was that totaled up?
So your total is 3, because you went brave. You didn't go for multi-choice. You just jumped in.
Do a Dirk Diggler. Go big or go home.
Go large.
Well, Neil.
Yes.
Let's end this. Behemoth.
Yeah.
Girth-tastic episode. And just say, like I said before, please find us on the socials. Get in touch with us if you want to come in and be part of our top fives or any other things that we've got planned in the future. Come and say hello to us. Rate, review, find us on all the cool stuff. Well, when I say cool stuff, I don't know what's cool anymore.
It's all cool.
Is it X?
It's all cool.
Formerly known as Twitter. Just type in at Reunited Pod or just look for the Reunited sign. Same with Facebook. Type it in. You should find us. Insta, yeah, go there if you want.
Insta massive.
Yeah. We're going to look forward to, well, it'll be out on April the 1st.
So yes.
We hoodwinked the listeners last year thinking we're going to do Jaws.
Yeah.
and we've done Jaws the Revenge.
Yes.
We're actually going to do something a wee bit different for April 1st. We're not going to do the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, we're cheating. Cheating the system.
We are.
Fooled you.
We're going back to 1979. Save for the minisode. What are we calling the minisode, Neil?
Top 5 Boogie Night Stars movies.
It just rolls off your tongue.
Oh, yeah. Like... Rain.
Chubby Rain. See yous.
Goodbye.
We're going back.
The Warriors are 27 miles from safety.
It's the only choice we got.
They're in a war zone called New York City. Every gang wants to get them. Every cop wants to bust them. They have one way out. They have one chance. They have one night. The Warriors, rated R.
We'll not say any more. We'll play the trailer. Shit, if you don't know what it is, you're kind of fucked. Vinegar tea, vinegar tea, vinegar tea, vinegar tea.